Good morning. That was great, just to worship God this morning and to draw closer to Him. And it's just my joy to be able to serve with you in these last few weeks, and I'm getting to be feel more part of Fraserlands all the time. And so thank you for the welcome you've given me and just getting to know some of you. This week has been a tremendous week. I hope you had a great week. I did. Last week I brought this couple here from Fort McMurray. And so they stayed with us all week. Yesterday, as they traveled back to Edmonton, needing a place to stay, one of my best friends in Edmonton is opening their home to them for the next few days before they can get back to Fort McMurray. And so we had the joy of hosting them for a week and seeing some of the struggles they went through. I attended the Alpha program here as well for the last few weeks, and what a joy to see one person open his heart and want to have Christ come into his life. And that, to me, was a highlight of the Alpha program as I've been attending this with you. And then on Thursday, I was asked by, Friday, I was asked by Pastor Larry to come in and share with the high school students about the opportunities they have to reach out to international students in the high school. And I brought a high school student with me, with his mom from mainland China, and they shared. And it was quite great to see the young people respond to that. And then yesterday, I was really touched because yesterday was our annual ISMC, International Student Ministries of Canada, breakfast for Vancouver. And we had students and staff and friends and volunteers and supporters come. And what a joy to hear the students share how they've been attracted to Jesus Christ. They came here with no experience of God in their lives. They knew nothing about Christianity. And God just touched their hearts. And so even this morning, I had a text from a young man called Andrew from Korea. He just graduated from Simon from Region College. And he just says this to me. I got to get to the right place here. I just want to thank you very much for inviting me to the ISMC breakfast yesterday. It was truly moving and touching experience. Hearing many stories and testimonies of God's saving work, I'm so glad to be able to share the same vision and passion with so many people from all over Vancouver and Canada. Thank you very much, Bert. What a joy to receive that this morning and know that, in fact, he's praying about becoming staff member and serving full-time with International Student Ministry. So these are just some of the blessings of this past week that I've had, and I hope you have been blessed this past week as well. This morning, I'm going to do the final series that on the heart of evangelism, part two, from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Just before I go into that, I just want to summarize or recap some of the things that has come from my own heart in the last 6 weeks. The first time I was asked to come here, I spoke on John chapter 9, the story of Jesus with the blind man, disciples arguing about who sinned, and Jesus had to tell them that they missed the point. They missed the total point of the heart of Jesus and his heart for this blind man. And so Jesus needed to move them from human thinking to divine motivation. Our human thinking keeps God from working in our life. Our human thinking keeps a lot of people in darkness. It's shaped by the world. Our human thinking is focused on by the world and its influence on us. And so we need to be moving from human thinking to divine motivation if we're going to be used by God and touch this needy world around us. And so we share that morning. We need to see people like Jesus sees people. We ask this morning, and even as we worship God, draw us closer. We want to be drawn closer to Jesus. But then we need to see him and see his heart for people like that blind man. People were arguing. Bob Pierce, the founder of World Vision, once said when God spoke to him and opened his eyes about the orphans in Korea, he said, "Break me, O God, with the things that break your heart. Break me, O God, with the things that break your heart." That's a good prayer for us to have. 2 weeks ago, I spoke on the book of Esther, 4 essentials to go mad. And Esther in the middle of luxury and her palace of security and beautiful place where she was living, she did not know really what was happening to her people. They were going into destruction. They're going to be wiped out. And Esther had to be challenged by her uncle to grasp the urgent hour in which she was living. God had to open her eyes, that God had allowed her to be there at the right place at the right time to provide salvation to her people. And she had to be willing to risk everything. I felt that God, even with my wife and I this past week, we were at the right place at the right time to provide for this couple that went through so much trauma from Fort McMurray, that we could actually look after them and they could be refreshed and blessed with us. They're part of the Fort McMurray Alliance Church. They want to help other people to get restarted. Their home did not burn down, fortunately, but they still have a lot of work to do to reestablish themselves and reestablish with other people in Fort McMurray. So I shared that message on four essentials to go mad, that we need to grasp the urgent hour. We need to see the privileges and the opportunities and be challenged with the responsibilities we have as God's people. We need to be challenged in that area. And God has allowed me to be here perhaps to challenge you this morning, to help you. Today we're going to be looking at what God expects from us, all of us. It's a very simple job description for God's people, that we are to be God's mirrors reflecting Him. And we can know the techniques, we can read some books, and by the way, we have a great resource table there that can help you. I kept a few of the books that others did not take last week on relationships and family. Please look at it, take a book of your choosing that can help you. But we also have some new books from your library on helping you to be a witness in evangelism outreach. Tony Campolo, 50 Ways You Can Share Your Faith. That'll be on the table. And Becoming a Contagious Christian by Bill Hybels. We've been reading some of that. And just, again, challenge me to be a contagious Christian for Jesus Christ. I want to be a radical for Jesus. Even though I'm 70, I'm getting older, I just want to pour my heart, because I know that Jesus said that the night is coming when no one can work. When's the last time I'll be able to open my home to internationals or help internationals find Jesus? And so I need to use that opportunity I have. So I hope you'll go to the table after the service. Okay, in your bulletin and on the PowerPoint, we have a few thoughts this morning. But before that, I have an illustration on what I'm going to be talking about. It's found in this little box. You see this little box? It's a little box. Actually, the box is a very cheap box. But it's pretty expensive what's inside of it. And that's why it's never used. It's in my wife's little drawer, dresser drawer. I stole it this morning. Not really. I asked her for it, but she never uses it. She never used a pretty useless box, but when you look inside of it, it's pretty exciting. I don't know where it came from, probably somebody from China, because we've been there a number of times. It doesn't have anybody's name on it, but it's there. I know it's hers, and I know it's special to her, because it's expensive, but it's useless. And what is inside of it? Well, take a look. There it is. The diagram, on the one side, it's very decorative. It's got a dragon on it. It's got beads on it. It's pretty heavy. It's special piece of jewelry, I think. So that's the one side, and there's a really nice little comb that I've never used. Nobody has used. It's still in the box. And on this side is a mirror. You see that? Oh, I can see the reflections. See? I love to have the sun shine into this mirror and then shine on my wife's eyes, and then she doesn't talk to me for a day. So that's not the good thing to do. So this is really nice. Nice mirror. But I think this mirror is pretty sad, because the mirror is never being used. It's people is pretty useless. And you know, but a mirror has two purposes. One of them is to look at yourself, and I looked at myself this morning and I looked pretty nice. So to look at yourself, but a mirror can also be used to help you when you're driving your car to see somebody else or another car behind you, so it can help protect you when you're driving. So mirrors can also do that. They can protect you, you can see others. And a mirror can also save your life. Did you know that? Let me give you an example this morning before we get into the outline of the message. Max Licato, in his great little book called It's Not About Me, he has a story, a true story from World War II about G.R. Tweed. G.R. Tweed looked across the Pacific waters at the American ship on the horizon. Brushing the jungle sweat from his eyes, the young naval officer swallowed deeply and made his decision. This could be his only chance for escape. Tweed had been hiding on Guam for nearly 3 years. When the Japanese occupied the island in 1941, he ducked into the thick tropical brush. Survival hadn't been easy, but he preferred the swamp to a prisoner of war camp. Late in the day, July 10th, 1944, he spotted the friendly vessel. He scurried up the hill. He positioned himself on a cliff. He reached into his pack. He pulled out a small mirror. At 6:20 p.m., he began to send signals. Holding the edge of the mirror in his fingers, he tilted it back and forth, bouncing the sun rays in the direction of the boat. Three short flashes, three long, three short again, dot, 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 dash, 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 dot, dot, dot. What does that say? SOS. The signal caught the eye of the sailor on board the USS McCall. A rescue party boarded a motorized little boat and slipped into the cove past the coastal guns, and Tweed was rescued. He was glad to have that mirror, glad he knew how to use it, and glad that the mirror cooperated. Suppose it hadn't. Prepare yourself for a crazy thought. Suppose the mirror had resisted and pushed its own agenda. Rather than reflect on the message from the sun, the mirror, suppose, wanted its own message. After 3 years of isolation, the mirror probably was starved for attention. So rather than sending an SOS message, the mirror could have sent an LAM message. Look at me. Look at me. The only crazier thought would be an insecure mirror. What if I blow it? What if I send a dash when I'm supposed to send a dot? Besides, have you seen the blemishes on my surface? Self-doubt could paralyze a mirror. So this morning, I'm going to be talking to you about being God's mirrors from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'd like to read this section here from chapter 4, verse 7 to 18, and then we'll look at what God is saying to us. Lord, we pray for your word. We pray that you'll touch our hearts, that we would be your mirrors this morning to a lost and needy world. Guide us, open our hearts, and touch us, and may we respond as you would have us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if the ministry that brought death, the ministry that Moses had in the Old Testament, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We're not like Moses, who had put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was passing away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It had not been removed because only in Christ it is taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. May God bless his word to us this morning. You have a vision. You portrayed the vision of your church. Part of your vision statement is on the front of your bulletin, to be a church of all nations transformed through faith and love in Christ. The first point I want to mention is that we are God's mirrors reflecting. We are God's mirrors. In this passage from the J.B. translation, J.B. Phillips, it says, we are with our unveiled faces reflecting like mirrors the brightness of the Lord, and all grow brighter and brighter as we're turned into the image that we reflect. This is the work of the Lord who is Spirit. So your new job description as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ, if you received him, is that you are to be reflecting the glory of God. We're to be reflecting the glory of God. It says reflecting like mirrors. So that's one translation. And you look at different translations. The next point, point two, is we're also beholding. This translation, the New King James Version, says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord. Those are two different kinds of words. One is reflecting, one is beholding. Look at the next slide there. There's different translations that you can go to. I think I have it on the PowerPoint, and I have it in your bulletin. What these translations on the Living Bible, NIV, they use the word reflecting. Reflecting means refraction, like a mirror. We are to reflect God and his glory. But the other, in the King James Version, and Revised, they use a different word. And that's called beholding, which is a totally different meaning, called contemplation, or looking, or staring. It comes from the word in Greek, and I don't know Greek, my wife knows Greek. But there is the Greek word. Whatever you say, katotriza. It can be translated either way. This is what confuses new Christians and even us older Christians. Who changed the Bible? Why are we using different words to describe the same thing? Why are the translations different? Scholars who translate the Bible from Greek to English or Hebrew, they face many challenges. They want to be true to the Greek or Hebrew, but they also want the common people to understand. And so, I believe that God in his Holy Spirit used this word because it can be translated either way. It can be translated either way. Could it be that the Holy Spirit intentionally selected a verb that reminds us to do both? To behold God so intently that you can't help but reflect him. Is that your desire? Is that your prayer? Are you frustrated with some of your weaknesses this morning? Your flaws? Did you yell at somebody this week? Did you lose patience with somebody? Is your marriage perfect? How are your relationships doing? What about your driving? Did you lose patience with a driver ahead of you when he didn't turn on the signal lights or when he jumped in the queue before you did? How's all that going? Well, we fail. We fail at, and maybe it's because we don't behold God so intently as we should. Maybe it's because we do not focus on him. My third point is on Moses. This passage reflects the parallel, talks about Moses. Moses, when he beheld the glory of God, his face reflected the glory of God. In fact, when he went into God's presence, when he came back out, the people were so upset because his face was so bright they couldn't stand it. They said, "We can't even look at you, Moses. You've been in God's presence. Please put that veil on your face. We don't want to see that." And so he had to put a veil. And in fact, Moses, by beholding, he led to becoming. And becoming led to reflecting. The brightness he saw was the brightness he became. He reflected some of the glory of God because he was spending so much time with God. We're not to be like Moses. We're not to have a veil. It says very clearly in God's word. We are to reflect the Spirit of Christ and Christ within us. I've heard and seen some couples who live together so long that they actually look like each other. Some people have said that sometimes. You guys have, and because they live so long together, they were starting to look like each other. So Moses had this experience, but the people of God in the Old Testament didn't like it. They didn't like to see that brightness of the glory of God. Well, the fifth point that I have, the fourth point is about beholding. Beholding. What does it mean? Beholding is not a quick glance. It's not a quick glance. It's the study. It's the stare. It's a serious pondering. So beholding is not just simply, oh, just one quick glance, and now I'm on my way. One quick, 30 seconds with Jesus, and now I expect him to help me the rest of the week. Jesus wants more than 30 seconds. If he's your best friend, if you love him so much, he wants you to spend time with him. And in our society, we like the quick changes. Oh, I've become a Christian. I should be changed immediately. I should become like Jesus immediately. It can happen just in 5 minutes or one day. No, it doesn't work that way. If we're going to be changed by God's Spirit, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. In fact, in Hebrews, when the people of God in the book of Hebrews were going through a difficult time, several times Paul says to these Christians that were going through tremendous difficulties, if you're going to survive, if you're going to keep pressing on for God, you're going to have to keep looking to Jesus. In fact, it talks in Hebrews 12 about the sin that so easily entangles us. Let's run with perseverance the race that's marked for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Fix, behold, not a quick glance. On Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who is for the joy that's set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so you'll not grow weary and lose heart. So many people, when things are not going their way, and that happens in churches all the time, it happens with Christians all the time. Oh, I don't like this about this church. Oh, they preach too long. This guy, this Dutch Canadian, he's too frank. He's too outspoken. Maybe we'll go to another church. And so, the mad pastor never shook my hand, or he forgot my name. So I guess I'll look for another church. So we do that all the time, because that's how we go with our food and our cars and everything else. We make those quick choices, and we do that with churches as well. I find that so sad, because our eyes are not fixed on Jesus. We will get disappointed when we look at people. We'll get disappointed. I've been disappointed many times. And so here we are. God's message to us this morning is back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, is to reflect God's glory. My last point this morning is based on how are we going to reflect his glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31 tells us that we, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do all to the glory of God. Everything in our lives should portray God's glory. My studying, my eating, everything I do. And so I listed a few parts of how we are to reflect his glory. Let your message reflect his glory. Let your message reflect his glory. You look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. It's, let your light shine before men that they will see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. We are to let our light shine. We are let to our, the greatest message in the world is the message that God has given us, the message of salvation. Let your salvation reflect his glory. Ephesians 1:13 talks about our salvation. Having believed, you are marked in him with the seal of the Holy Spirit for the praise of his glory. Your salvation is not for yourself. Your message is not for yourself. It's not for you. It's for others. It's for God's glory. So God's glory would be seen in your lives. Let your body reflect his glory. 1 Corinthians 6:19, you're not your own. Glorify God in your body. Did you glorify God in your body this week? I biked for 2 hours with this couple from Fort St. Mary on Friday to the falls above Coquitlam River. That was so strenuous. They hadn't been on bikes for years, and it totally exhausted them. I thought they were just gonna faint at the end of the trip. This young couple, it just finished them off. Well, maybe because they don't exercise properly. Did you exercise this week? Did you use your body just to keep it in shape? I think that's important. Then let your struggles reflect his glory. Let your struggles. 2 Corinthians 4:15. Paul, in the next chapter, goes through all the things he's enduring. He's enduring persecution and sufferings. He's in this situation and that situation, only for one purpose. These sufferings of ours are for your benefit. More are being won to Christ, and the more the Lord is glorified. When I suffer, sometimes I suffer because I make some mistakes. I saw the police stop somebody this morning, and I was reminded that my driving should reflect his glory. So I looked at the speedometer quickly, make sure that I was driving the speed limit. Well, that's one of the hardest for me, to let my driving reflect his glory. What about the studies? Many students study exams at the last minute. One student told me when he came from China, he didn't need to study. He didn't need to study. He was smart enough. He was at Thompson River University, so I don't need to study. I'm smart. And then a few months later, he was not a Christian, but he came to me and Bert, he says, I really need your prayers right now. The university says I will be expelled, and my parents find out I will be in big, big trouble. I need prayer. I said, you need more than prayer. You need discipline. You need to focus on your exams. Well, we did pray together. Let your struggles reflect his glory. Remember the girl Helen that I talked to you about? Helen is from Fort McMurray. I saw her 10 years ago as a brand new person in Canada with no knowledge of God, but she came to our programs and she opened her heart to Christ and I baptized her. And then something happened. Oh, then you think, oh, life is going to be glorious. Just a few months later, her grandfather that was very close to her died. And then, just a few weeks later, her father died. And she went back to China, and her father did not tell his wife where the money was that he was financing his daughter in Canada. Nobody knew where the money was. So here is a girl that was destitute, did not know how she was going to handle her future. And her mother said to her during that time, how can you be strong, so strong at such a time as this? And she said, she noticed a difference in her daughter, and Helen said, it's because of God. It's my faith in God that keeps me strong. Her mother is on her journey toward Jesus. Wow, then she's coming to Canada in a few weeks' time. There are so many other things I'd like to share with you, but I'd like to share one more story. And then I got a surprise for you this morning. Another story that just helps us to reflect how we can be like Jesus, how we can become more like him. And this takes place in a mission that is for the street people, Bowery Mission. Joe was a drunk. What did I do with? Oh, there it is. Joe was a drunk who was miraculously converted at Bowery Mission. Prior to his conversion, he gained a reputation of being the worst dirty wino for whom there was no hope, only a miserable existence in the ghetto. But following his conversion to a new life in Christ, everything changed. Joe became the most caring person that anyone associated with the mission had ever known. Joe spent his days and nights hanging out at the mission, doing whatever needed to be done. There was never anything that he was asked to do he considered beneath him. Whether it was cleaning up the vomit left by some violently sick alcoholic or scrubbing toilets after careless men left the men's room filthy, Joe did what was asked with a smile on his face and seemingly gratitude for the chance to help. He could be counted on to feed feeble people who wandered off the street and into the mission, and to undress and tuck into bed men who were too out of it to take care of themselves. One evening, when the director of the mission was delivering his message to the usual crowd of still and sullen men with drooped heads, there was one man who looked up, came down the aisle to the altar and knelt to pray, crying out to God to help him change. Oh God, make me like Joe. Make me like Joe. Make me like Joe. The director of the mission leaned over and said to the man, son, I think it would be better if you prayed, make me like Jesus. The man looked at the director with a quizzical expression on his face and asked, is he like Joe? The greatest sermon we can ever preach is not spoken, it's lived. And the message this morning is to reflect Jesus in everything we do. And this morning, as some of you know that I work with international students, I heard testimonies yesterday how they were attracted to Jesus. I brought one of my friends, Martin, here this morning. I'd like him to close this service this morning with sharing how he was attracted to Jesus here as he came from Najing 2 years ago. Martin, come on up. Let's welcome him.
Hi, everyone.
Should work.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hi, everyone. I'm Martin. I'm from China. Now I'm going to share my story to you guys. 2 years ago, I came to Canada with only two overweight luggages and all my family's expectations. I still remember it was a rainy day. Air was mixed with the smell of refreshed ground and the sound of fields from the new place. And a few days later, my housemate invited me to Focus Club in Asaview. She told me that it is open every Friday night, and there are lots of international students like me. It also offers free dinner. It sounds great, right? Because I can improve my English and make a lot of friends over there. It is really what I'm looking for at that moment. The people over there, they are really nice and they're very friendly. They give me the feeling of home. I really enjoyed the dinner and the games. Before I left, there was a lady who prayed for me. She also introduced me to Friendship Partner Program in Canada. And then later, my friendship partner introduced me to their church. Gradually, I started to pray and read Bible. There were lots of fellowship speakers and friends helping me to understand Bible. They used their wisdom, actions, and they gently explained to me what about being a Christian, what being a Christian is about, and they encouraged me to grow as a Christian. So my conclusion is you are being loved in so many ways. You would never know how many people are praying for you now, and the prayer will come true sooner or later. But whenever you open your heart to God, He is here. He never abandoned you. Yeah, thank you.
Wow. Well, thank you. People like Martin and so many others are attracted by brothers and sisters who reflect Christ, reflect God's glory. The unique thing I discovered from the Alpha program and one of our guests that came there week after week was this thought. He says, I've come to Fraserlands because I see something unique. I see something different about the people I know. They have attracted me. That is what people will see. They will see your lives, not so much your preaching, all the your wisdom, but they'll see your heart. They'll see your heart. They'll see your life. They'll watch you. And so many people have come to me and said, why are you doing this? Why are you spending your time feeding us? Why are you spending your time helping strangers? I've even taken students on driver's lessons in my car. Some of them that didn't even know where the brake and the gas pedal were. That was risky. So, I come to the close. Maybe the music team can come up and get ready for the final song. But one day I received this letter from a Chinese teacher who wanted to thank me. And I give God all the glory. There are times that I have failed in my witness and reflecting God's glory. But this teacher shared these thoughts. She had been in Canada just for a few months. She said, I'd like to send my heartfelt gratitude to you for all your help to us five teachers. It was you who made our life in Kamloops and journey to Canada so happy and great. You're always available when something happens. You're the first person we met in Kamloops, and from the day you kept caring for us and helping us, I can't count how many times you help us, give us, how many times you helped to give us, for there were so many. You and your wife are one of the most kind, warm, hospitable, and helpful people in Canada. What you did for us moved me so much. I'll never forget you. It's a year or two later that we were able to be welcomed and hosted by her in the land of China. And though she didn't become a Christian, she made sure that we were introduced to a church. So we were introduced to a church and we introduced her to the church. It was a mutual introduction. I grew up in a background of complaining, comparing. I grew up in the background of Dutch, where if you're not Dutch, you're not much. And we looked down upon others. But one day I realized that my Dutch church had a lot to learn. I was on the school bus. I was proud of my Dutch church. Maybe you're proud of your Chinese church. We hope that this will not stay mainly a Chinese church. It'll be a church of all nations. But this Dutch church, we wanted people to be just like us. And so we were pretty proud. And we grew rich. My parents grew quite wealthy. He had 5 sons. Cheap labor, he knew how to use it. And so one day on the bus, I was talking about my church, and one of the young people said, "I know why you guys go to church. I know why you guys are rich. The church has money, and you get money from the church every Sunday. That's why you guys are so rich." Wow. I realized we had failed to make a positive impact on their lives because they thought the church was rich, and that's why we are rich. And so we erected, instead of bridges, we erected barriers. You saw all those words that you portray today: belong, build. Let's pray that these words that you have used to become your vision statement will become reality in your life. Let's pray that God will use us to reflect His glory. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this morning. Thank you for these just thoughts that we portray, that we are to become more and more like Jesus. We are to reflect Him in every area of our lives, in our family, in our homes, in our church, on the street, in work, wherever we are. Oh God, we pray that we could even say that prayer, "Make me like Joe." Paul says, "Be followers of me as I'm followers of Christ, as I'm a follower of Christ." Lord, we pray that we will truly follow You and reflect You this week to a world that's watching us. And Lord, we know that that is the heartbeat of evangelism. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. After the song, we're going to use the prayer of St. Patrick's as our closing benediction. In your bulletin or on the PowerPoint.